the Lord for Chris. Let's thank the Lord again. God bless you. I'm glad you didn't leave that out. Wonderfully, wonderfully done. Jeremiah chapter 18 is where we're going to have our foundational text this morning. I want to share with you some thoughts about when life falls apart. Now, if I were to go seat by seat, row by row, and just ask you to just be as honest as you know how to be and as transparent as you know how to be, how are things going? Well, for some, the answer might be, Pastor, things are going well and they've been better, and the Lord's good, and praise the Lord, and I just praise the Lord with you. But for others, you might say, Brother Jackie, I'm struggling. And in my struggles, whether they be physical or emotional or financial or relational or whatever they might be, the old evil one, the devil himself, will try to use life's difficulties to separate you from your faith. The old devil will whisper in your ear, in not an audible voice, of course, but in that voice of suggestion, if God loved you, you wouldn't be facing this. If God cared about you, you wouldn't be having this pain and difficulty. But the truth is, we live in a world where things are imperfect and sin's contaminated the whole world. And because of sin, we have hurt and heartache and sickness and tragedy and difficulty. But thank God, God's got a word for what to do, what to know when your life falls apart. Let me share with you, if I may, a somewhat old illustration, but you may have never heard it because it's one of those that has been around for a long time. But because it's football season, I get tickled at my buddy Lou. Lee always finds me on Sunday morning and we catch up on the football game from the previous day. And that is spiritual, isn't it? Is it all right? Yeah. But the truth is a lot more things important in life than football, but not much. No, you know I'm kidding. But the truth is, when we talk about things that are going on in our lives, God's got a word if our response was less than perfect. And I want to share with you an illustration, I think, that kind of helps us to share this wonderful passage in Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to look together at it in just a moment. The 1929 Rose Bowl. Many of you were not born then. Georgia Tech came to California to play the mighty University of California. Roy Riggles was a starter and a star athlete for California. And he made a defensive, brilliant defensive play late in the first half. Roy Riggles intercepted a pass, fought off several would-be tacklers, and headed for the end zone and a touchdown. What he did not know was that in fighting off the tacklers, he had gotten turned around and headed for the wrong end zone and actually scored a touchdown for the other team, Georgia Tech. When the half ended, Georgia Tech was ahead of California because of Roy's touchdown, and they hung on to win by that same margin. At halftime, everyone wondered if the coach, Nibbs Price, would pull Roy out of the game. When it came time to announce the starting lineup for the second half, Roy's name was called. He had a second chance to pick up the pieces of a broken life. How would you like to be known as the player who won the game for the other team? But you see, there are sometimes we face things that are a lot more serious than that, a lot more difficult than that. We wonder, Lord, where are you, and where do we go from here, and how do I face this, and how do I not only get through, but get through victoriously? And there is a nursery rhyme that sometimes reminds us of a wonderful truth that I want you to remember this morning. You'll remember it. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great what? All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But if they had known what we know, we could have added another little line in there. But the king could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I've got a good word for you this morning. There's a king on the throne in glory that can put things back together for a broken heart and a wounded life. What to do with a broken heart? What to do when life falls apart? The Lord used an illustration from the book of Jeremiah to remind the prophet of this, because Jeremiah, do you know what he was also called? He was called a certain kind of prophet. Anybody remember what he was called? He was called the weeping prophet. His heart broke. His heart broke for Israel and for their idolatry and for their unfaithfulness and for their sin and how they abandoned the God of glory. And God spoke to Jeremiah's broken heart. And God tried to encourage him in chapter 18, let's just begin in verse 1 and read rather than through verse 4, we'll read through verse 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, by the way, God has a word for you for whatever season of life you're in, whatever place of life you're in, whatever hurt you're experiencing, God, thank God, has a word for us. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise. And by the way, I suspect Jeremiah thought, Lord, this seems like an awful strange thing for you to ask me to do in the midst of my hurt and heartache and my weeping over Israel. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And I've got that underlined, and that suggests to me that God had been trying to get through to Jeremiah before, and it just wasn't sinking in. If you got children, has there ever been a time when you just figured, they ain't listening to me? No, you don't have to stand up and give testimony now, but the truth is, God had been trying to speak to Jeremiah for a while, and it just wasn't getting through. And so, I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. To the potter's house. And behold, he, the potter, wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. This wonderful story from Jeremiah's life is in some ways a parable for you and me today. It's a parable of life, a parable about who I am and what God wants to do in my life and what can God do with me. And it's really a threefold story that I want us to talk about for a moment this morning. It's a story of God making, using this potter as an example of how God makes us His vessels, how God experiences and knows when those vessels are marred, and then how God works in life to mend broken vessels. Now think about that for just a moment. First of all, the making of the vessel. I will cause thee to hear my words. Behold, the potter wrought a work on the wheels. Jeremiah, I don't ever want you to forget that God is the only one. By the way, the vessel speaks of you and me, a picture of just who we are in life, shaped by God, formed by God, a vessel that God wants to use for His glory. In fact, I put a note or two here for us to just remember this morning, God's plan for the vessel and God's purpose for the vessel. and God's process in forming the vessel. First of all, God's plan. When God makes you and me, by the way, that potter delighted in making that vessel, and I'm sure that potter had a plan in mind of how it was to be used. And I want you to know that that's a beautiful picture of the sovereign, creative hand of God. When God created you before you were, or God planned you before you were, and God has a plan that you might be blessed and that you might be used of God. And God wants to bless you. And God wants to bless me with heaven's richest blessings. Now, that's not health and wealth theology. That's just simply say, Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? Life and have it more abundantly. Now, you need to remember that. I need to remember that because there are times that I might forget or you might forget. We may think God's got other things on his mind other than me because he must have forgotten about me. He's not forgotten about you. You're a vessel that God has created. And by the way, God's proud of all of his vessels. God loves all of his vessels. He has his creation. God's got a plan for all of them. And I made ourselves a note here that God's plan for the vessel is that God will delight in it, use it for his glory. And it's always a lovely vessel. By the way, I thought about some of the things that my grandchildren have done through the years. And usually when they make something, and Libby and I have gotten a lot of fun out of this, when your grandchildren make it for you and they give it to you, it doesn't matter how big a mess it is beautiful in the eyes of a grand. Amen? Amen. Listen, God wants you to know, and others have said this, and it says it so well. God don't make no what? Junk. God doesn't make any junk. And I don't know how you feel about who you are, but you are somebody created in the very image of a holy God. And God's got a plan to use you for his glory. And you are a lovely vessel. Now, I'll tell you, I get so tickled at sweet Libby. She's gorgeous anyway. We were out doing something the other day, and one little lady passed her, and she's going to burn my supper for telling you this. And that lady looked at sweet Libby and said, honey, are you a model? And I said, yes, ma'am, she is. The truth is, I gave her one year for her birthday a Mustang convertible. Yeah, yeah. Every husband ought to give his wife a Mustang convertible at one time. And then sometimes I'll say, honey, let's go for a ride in the Mustang. Let's put the top down. Well, not today, but someday. And this is her response most of the time. I can't go because I hadn't got my makeup on. And it'll mess up my hair. Hello, you're talking about a convertible. Let your hair blow. You'd be beautiful if you were bald-headed. You're pretty anyhow. And I'm getting deeper and deeper all the time. God's plan for a vessel is it's a lovely vessel and an important vessel that God wants to use. Listen, there is a place in life and God's plan for this life that nobody else can fill except you. God put you here because God wants to use you. Maybe it's in your family. Certainly it is. In your circle of friends or whatever path the Lord may lead you in, God's got a plan for you. And the purpose that includes God's concept of man is to remind us that we are created in the image of God and we represent God to a lost world. What the lost world knows about God, they know because they look through the lens of looking at our lives. That's why God created us in his image and God created us for his glory. And God has an unusual process of shaping us. I've got a pastor friend of mine, and he's in glory now. His name is Bill, one of my dearest friends. And at a very early age, I think Bill was probably in his early 50s. I don't remember. He was diagnosed. He was an athlete. He was the quarterback of his high school football team. He was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And he lasted several years. But the last sermon that he preached it on Easter Sunday at the church where he was pastoring. And he did it without saying a word. He used an overhead projector and used the words on the screen to share the gospel because his vocal cords were paralyzed and he couldn't speak. And my friend sent out a note to all of us on his mailing list, his email list. And he sent a little devotional thought. I've used it here. And the title of it was, Five Ways God Wants to Use Problems in Our Lives. Now, I'll tell you what, I got that. And I knew that my friend could no longer embrace his sons, could no longer hold his wife, could no longer preach the glorious gospel. And yet my friends are saying, let me tell you what God's teaching me about how God wants to use problems in our lives. God uses problems to help form us and shape us into a vessel that will bring honor and glory. And Bill Trapp preached a lot of sermons. He was an excellent preacher. But the greatest sermon he ever preached was when he lived faithfully for Jesus until the very last breath was drawn. And he kept on keeping on because God had a plan for his life, even though the vessel was falling apart. God's process includes that process that potters use, the vessel and the wheel. And it's a picture of God using different means to shape us. And sometimes when I've never done this. I'm not an artist, and I've never built a clay pot. But sometimes a clay pot falls apart. Sometimes it falls apart because it's just the nature of the clay. It's just either not wet enough or it's too wet or it falls apart. Or there may be something inside the clay that hinders the adhesiveness of the clay. But whatever is the reason, sometimes they fall apart. And the truth is, sometimes vessels get marred, and sometimes they do so, they fall apart, as I mentioned there in your notes, because of the nature of the clay, or maybe resistance of some material within the clay itself. But there's something interesting. I read this a long time ago and had never heard it before. In the corner of the traditional potter's house in Jeremiah's culture, there was a pile of broken vessels, hardened, no longer pliable, no longer yielded, a trash heap of what might have been. Now think about it. While the potter is mending or making a new vessel, shaping it and forming it so slowly and so carefully, over the corner is a pile of vessels that for some reason were broken and cracked and no longer used. What do you do with a pile of vessels that are broken up? I was driving with the rider with my son, our son, Jamie, our oldest son, the one who used to serve here when he was a student at Union. And he's in construction now, and we drove by a big construction site and where it looked like they had taken down a huge concrete wall of some kind, big, huge blocks of concrete. And they were loading huge blocks of concrete on the back of truck dump trucks. And I said, son, what are they going to do with that concrete? And I didn't even know that this could be done. He said, Daddy, they're reprocessing the concrete. They're going to wind up crushing that concrete and reusing it to make something else that can be used out of concrete that has been thrown away and cast aside. What I want to say to you is this. Jeremiah also knew there was a pile of broken pieces of clay. But God was saying, Jeremiah, God's got a plan. Even if things have fallen apart, and even if your vessel has been marred, I've got a good word for you. God is a God who can mend broken vessels. God's a God who can use you no matter what your past has been. The thing that blesses me so much when I look at this illustration, and listen carefully for the Lord's word to your heart this morning. The mending of vessels. So the potter, when that clay vessel fell apart, began to mold it over again. And I began to think about the principles that we need to take home with us this morning. And this is really where I want you to hang your hat this morning. Number one, if in your life there have been times of brokenness, if in your life there have been times of poor decisions, if in your life there have been times when crises have come and you just couldn't see God anywhere in the process, believe in God's plan and purpose for your life. Believe in God's plan and purpose for your life. God's got a plan for you. I just am amazed. I think back when I was a boy in Lacey Spring, Alabama, and just an ordinary country boy in Alabama, nothing special, just an old country boy. How could I have ever imagined that one day God would let me be a pastor and preach God's word? How would I ever dream that God would let me stand before? There have been times I've had the privilege of standing before thousands of people at one time and preached the gospel. That's just the gift of God. That's an incredible, amazing thing, because you see, whether it's Junior Hill and I were in Zambia and preaching the gospel with a number of other preachers, and some of the workers on the farm where we were came to an assembly where Junior, if you know Junior Hill, he preached a 15-minute sermon, and six or seven of those 15 workers gave their hearts and lives to Jesus. So it doesn't matter whether you're speaking to thousands or whether you have an audience of one. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Number two, recognize the patience and perseverance of God. God has not given up on you. Now, may I repeat that? God has not given up on you. God's little children's song, don't you love it? God's still what? Working on me. God's still working on me. When life falls apart, remember, God's got a plan and purpose for your life. Recognize the patience and perseverance of God. God's not giving up on you. Trust the promises of God. The promises of God. Like 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trust the promises of God. And we sing that song. It's one of my favorites, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King, Jerry. Through the endless ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. What? Standing on the promises of God. Remember, when life falls apart, believe in God's plan and purpose for your life. Recognize the patience and perseverance of God. He's not given up. Trust the promises of God. And lastly, yield to the power of God. He can do what you can. May I say to you, no matter what has ever transpired in your life in the past, God is a God of today. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of new beginnings. He's a God who can pick up the broken pieces and put them back together. Because that's the kind of God that He is. Remember, Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses And all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But the king can. Let's bow together.